right, good singing all the way around. I appreciate the good gospel singing that we've enjoyed here this morning. Take your Bible, if you will. We'll be looking in Joshua chapter number 5 in the book of Joshua chapter 5. If you'll stand with me, if you're able, about verse number 13. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as the captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord to his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Father, bless your word to every heart. How we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We thank you for the good singing that we've enjoyed. I pray if there's one that's lost and undone without God, may you open their eyes, trouble their heart, draw them by thy grace and mercy, and grant them repentance and faith, that they might be born again into the family of God. We'll thank you for all you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while, if I might, on the captain of the Lord's host. I want to say to you that all that matters in the world, it doesn't make any difference how many of the people are in rank, and it doesn't matter whatever the chain of command is. Let me tell you, when you get to the captain here of the Lord of hosts, you've gone as high as you can go. There may be other inventions of people that want to give a higher label, but you're not going past, and you're not going higher than the captain of the Lord's host. In the lesson that we're looking at, Israel had already crossed over the overflowing Jordan. You remember that it was out of its banks everywhere. And yet you find that by the divine hand of God, just like God had parted the Red Sea, he now parts the overflowing Jordan River, and he's allowed Israel to be able to pass over to the other side. I got to tell you, they not only went over on the other side, they went over on dry ground. They wasn't wading around in a bunch of mud and slop and this and that, buddy. They went on dry ground. Somebody said, you really believe they went on dry? I believe they were kicking up dust. That's how dry it was. Wasn't no place there to be able to bargain with God. And no doubt is that that it was a wide span and a very, very big miracle that God had performed there. Now, number one in the lesson that we're looking at in this whole chapter, we've read the last part because that's who we're going to deal with last. But let me say to you that it's a message that disturbed the kings that were in that land, namely the kings of the Amorites and the kings of the Canaanites, which heard about that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan. Let me tell you, when they heard that, it melted their heart. You know what's wrong with the average Baptist? You know what makes a person grow up religious but lost in a Baptist church? And let me tell you, is that you can find a lot wrong with Baptists. But you won't find anything wrong with that old lying Baptist doctrine, I can tell you that. I've challenged people on that for years. I got to tell you right now that when you look into the blessed word of the Lord, you'll find that these are men that were there and the hearts melted. You know what makes a Baptist grow up in the house of God and die without God and go to hell? Their hearts are hardened and never have been melted. If you've got a tender heart for God, you can thank God for that. These are kings that were there, and their hearts were melted. They didn't do anything about it. They didn't repent toward God and by faith believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and the captain of the Lord's host. They didn't do that. Let me say to you, make no mistake about it, they were troubled because they had heard a message that was some 40 years earlier. You remember whatever Israel came through the Red Sea, came out of Egyptian bondage, and God made a path, and they went through on dry ground through the Red Sea. Remember that? Well, Israel, you'll find that they sent some spies into the land to spy out the country. And there were 12 of them that went in there and to see the good land. And my, they had a thing of grapes, you know, that was off of one cluster that two men had to take a pole and bear it between them. It was a land that flowed with milk and honey. It had no doubt cows and no doubt a lot of beehives in it. It was a good land that God was trying to give the people of Israel. But you'll find they also had some obstacles in there. They had some giants and some big walls they had to overcome. And boy, I want to tell you what, those 12 spies that went in, there was 10 of them that saw it different than the other two. Joshua and Caleb brought back a good report, but the other 10 said, we can't go in there. Why, we look like grasshoppers in the sight of those men. They're such giants. Do you know it angered the Lord? And that's the reason why they had to turn, go into the wilderness, and for 40 years. 40 years they went about. God sustained them in the wilderness, by the way. Do you remember that even though they had sinned, that their garments didn't wax old upon them? Remember that? Do you realize and know that whenever you look into this lesson, that these are kings that are now hearing an incident that reminds them of a message that they had heard afar off some 40 years earlier? Talk about an impact upon them. Now you'll find that they've come there next door to them, and they're at the Jordan River, and they're about to be able to hear that it's been parted and that the children of Israel have come through on dry land. I've got to tell you something, is that Israel, whenever they went through the Jordan River, means death, and you'll find they passed from death into life. You ever done that? When you got born again, when I got born again, let me tell you, we're going a new direction. We pass from death unto life, from darkness unto light. And as a result of that, you're going to find we're going to cover some ground we've never been heretofore. In the lesson that we're looking at, you'll find out is here's what God's telling them. Not only are they going a new direction, but they've got a new duty. In verse number 2 of this same text that's here, you'll find out God told Joshua to get some sharp knives. And he's going to get some sharp knives. They're going to have a circumcision. And they're going to have it for the second time. Now, that doesn't mean that men that have been circumcised are going to be circumcised again. That meant they had a crew of circumcision back whenever they were over in Egypt and leaving Egypt. But those that had been born along the way, and now after 40 years, they're going to be circumcised because they've not yet been circumcised, and they're about to have a circumcision. Notice that, if you will, that in this lesson that we're looking at, and you can read that in verse number 4 all the way down through verse number 7 about the incident and about those that were there. Let me say to you that notice that these that are being circumcised, they're going to be replacements for those that had been circumcised, but they didn't believe God, and God mushed them around until they all died from 20 years old and up. Now, look in your Bible, and I want you to look over in the book of Numbers in chapter 14. Do not lose your text, but in the book of Numbers. Now, he's about to circumcise these that were born and for 20 years old and under, and that were born there in those wilderness journeys. Notice, if you will, please, in Numbers in chapter number 14. Numbers chapter number 14, verse 27, we'll take reading there. Now, he says, and he, as he's given this inclination here, or this information, that Israel's always inclined to believe what they can see and what they can touch and what they, and they limit God to who they were and what he is. But notice, if you will, please, if you read the whole chapter there, you'll find that the people were weeping because of the bad report that was brought in. Joshua and Caleb went ahead and talked about the good land. And then they warned them in verse number 9 not to rebel against the Lord. And neither fear all these other people that are around, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And notice, if you will, please, in Numbers in chapter number 14, verse 27. And the Bible said, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmured against me? I've heard the murmurings and of the children of Israel which they murmured against me, saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. They're going to die in the wilderness. Now look in verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness, look, 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. And after the number of days in which ye have searched the land, even 40 days. See, they went in there and they searched the land for 40 days. And when they came back, they're going to have to pay a year for each day. And that's why they marched around in the wilderness for 40 years until that crowd that didn't believe God died off. Look in Psalms 95. Psalms 95, in fact, is it such an event that we ought to be warned about that it's mentioned over in Psalm 95, verse 8. And the Bible said, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom that I swear in my wrath, they should not enter into my rest, namely going into the promised land. Now, we read that way back when, but while you turn to Hebrews in chapter number 3, that's a warning that we ought to believe whatever God said, whatever God promised, even in the New Testament age that we lived in, and that you and I ought to just believe God, take Him at His word, and believe what He said in Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 11. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. He said, they've always erred in their own heart. In verse 10, he said, verse 12, take heed, my brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest that you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I'm going to tell you, is that what God judged Israel for and kept them marching in the wilderness 40 years, he warns about it again and reminds them in Psalm and in the New Testament church. Don't think for one minute that our flesh is any better than theirs was. Notice, if you will, please, back in your text, that this crowd that now is about to go into the land of promise, they're already on across the river on the other side. And notice that, if you will, please, is that they not only have gone a new direction, now they've got a new diet. They're going to eat the corn of the land. They're not going to just keep eating that manna that fell from heaven. It's going to cease. They're going to go now eat from the fruit of the land, and did so for about a year. But in the lesson that you're looking at that's here, you'll find that there's a diet change. And by the way, do you not know that there's a diet change in the New Testament? What was that Paul said over there in the book of Hebrews to them? He said, I'd like to feed you with meat and not with milk, but you're not able to bear it. Remember that? Because he said, you got dull of hearing. You know, that's what happened to Israel. They got dull of hearing what God said. And that's what's happened in the average day that we're living in. That's the reason why that we've got so many infidels and infahel people that are going to hell, like the mob, the woke movement, and all that crowd, and 99.9% of the Democratic Party. I just went ahead and guessed at that other little bitty percentile. There might be somebody saved in it, but they're being silent if they are. In the lesson that we're looking at is that you'll find is that there's a new diet. And you and I are not to just be on the milk of the word all the time, that we are to grow up and have some meat that comes from God and be able to enjoy the fruit of the land. Now, I want to say to you that in the midst of all of this that's happened, it brings us to where we are right now. Joshua, the Bible said, it came to pass that while he was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes, he looked, and there he saw a man with a sword that was drawn. I want to tell you, he didn't know who he was at first. And that's the reason why he asked, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he says, I'm the captain of the Lord of the hosts. And the captain of the Lord of hosts is here. And let me tell you who he is. He is none other than the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And make no mistake about it, is that in the day and hour that we're living in, a lot of people don't even know that. But let me tell you who that captain is. That's a pre-incarnate Christ. And he is there as an angel of the Lord. He is there to be able to represent and to know that he's honored God the Father and that Israel is his people. They're the apple of his eye. And he's about to take care and take charge and let them know he is in charge. Notice, if you will, please, in this lesson we're looking at, is that over in the book of Acts, I'll give you a moment to find that, in the book of Acts, I want you to look at Acts chapter number 27. And what we're looking at is to show you here that is the Lord and that is the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the angel of the Lord there that's represented as the captain of the Lord of hosts, that no doubt that is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the captain of the Lord's host, and I'm glad to be part of him. Notice in the book of Acts in chapter 27, verse number 23, as we look there in the chapter. Here's the Apostle Paul speaking, and here's what he says in verse number 23. But the Bible says, for there stood by me this night. You know, he's on that ship that's likely to be broken up, and they're going to have to go ashore. But he said, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. And I'm going to tell you something, is that when you begin to look there in the chapter that's there, notice in verse 23, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whose I serve. You know who he serves? None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not an angel that he would bow down. An angel would not allow you to bow down, like he would tell John, get up, I'm but a servant. This angel accepted worship and accepted adoration and accepted reverence from the Apostle Paul. Now look in Galatians chapter 4. In Galatians chapter number 4, and I'll give you a second to find it. In Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 14, in that chapter that's there. And the Bible said, the Apostle Paul speaking to the church at Galatia, he says in verse 14, chapter 4, my temptations which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as, look at it, an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Let me tell you who that angel is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ in this incident. Now, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and we're going to be closing up here in a second, but in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 2, now, I want you to notice that in this chapter that we're looking at, I'm going to reread you and let you know that in the book of Joshua, chapter number 5, and in this lesson at verse 13 down through the rest of it, in verse 14, he says, nay, but I'm of the captain of the host of the Lord. In verse 15, he says, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Now, I don't have any idea. Somebody asked me and said, do you think Joshua just had one leg, one foot? He told Moses, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. He tells Joshua, put off thy shoes from off thy foot. I don't know. You can ask him when you get to heaven. What I do know is that Joshua and his foot is not the important part of this chapter. The important part is, who is that captain? I'll tell you who he is. He's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hebrews in chapter number 2 and in verse number 10. And the Bible says in Hebrews 2 verse 10, for it became him for whom all things, and by him all things, in bringing many sons into glory, and to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. You know who that is? That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. That's who suffered on the cross. That's who's made perfect salvation. That's who, buddy, redeemed us by his own precious blood. Now pay close attention. In verse number 10 that we just read, to make the captain of their, unless you've got a new version of the Bible, that's what it says. Wonder why new versions took the word captain out. See? You don't just notice that at a glance, do you? He is the captain. He's always been. He is right now. Will be tomorrow. Make no mistake whatsoever about it. I want to say to you, the only way to be able to get to heaven and be able to miss hell is through a person, and he is the captain, and his name is the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The only way for going into the promised land, they had to follow the captain. And you know what his name is? Well, according to the rest of the scripture in the Bible, it's very easy to figure out. The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I wonder, do you know him? Do you know him? If you do, then you're on the right track. You're on the right ground. and He'll lead you all the way to the other side. All right, let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to say thank You for loving us while we were unlovable. I pray Your blessings now upon these that have gathered here today. Lord, there may be one that does not know You in our midst. May You trouble their heart until they finally find themselves up on their faces, confessing their sin. And may they trust You as the captain of their salvation and the Lord of hosts. We want to say thank You for loving us now in Jesus' name. Go with us to our